Morning, Rabosai. We're on Daf Lamed Tes Amid Beis. And we're up to Ashkechei. Let's see if we can find the place. If you count up from the bottom of Lamed Tes Amid Beis, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 lines up from the bottom. Now, let's just review the basics. We have a sheet of Rabbi Yossi, and we're going to begin today by focusing on the sheet of Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi holds that the halacha of Rosh Hashanah, meaning the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, is called Kiddusha Achas. And we define these 2 days as one continuous day. It's 48 hours of straight continuous Kiddusha. And therefore, Rabbi Yossi is machmir. He doesn't allow you to assume a suffix that we don't know which day of Rosh Hashanah is the real day. Is it the first day? Is it the second day? You know, he'll set up his Eruv in one direction on day one, on another. That's all Shtei Kiddushos. But Rabbi Yossi never accepted Shtei Kiddushos. He holds that the Rabbanan established both days of Rosh Hashanah as Kiddusha Achas. And you'll have the option of one Eruv in one direction. Likewise, Rabbi Yossi is going to hold Kiddusha Achas in Rosh Hashanah in a case of Hafrashas Trumas and Maisros. He's not going to allow you to be Mafrish on the first day of Rosh Hashanah and then do another Hafrash on the second day and apply the logic of Mimonavshach. He's not going to allow you, in the case of a Beitza that was laid on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, to eat it on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. It's all Kiddusha Achas. That's Rosh Hashanah. Now, we're talking about Yontif Sheni Shel Golios. And we have 2 days of Sukkot in Chutz Laretz, and 2 days of Shavuos, and 2 days of Pesach. And here, Rabbi Yossi is going to agree that it's Shtei Kiddushos. Because why are we observing a second day of Yontif in Chutz Laretz? We don't know. We're not sure, and we didn't get the word, as to whether Bezdin was Mekadesh, the first day of Yontif, or the second day of Yontif. In the absence of that knowledge, we're going to have to observe 2 days of Yontif Mitzad Safek, and we don't know which day is Yontif, so that's called Shtei Kiddushos. So the Gemara now tells us the following story. Ashkechei Rav Sheshes L'Rabba Bar Shmuel. So that Rav Sheshes meets Rabba Bar Shmuel, V'Omar Le, and he asks him the following question. Tani Mar, did my master have some sort of a Tani? Tani is a Braisa. Mide, at all in the concept or the world of Kiddushos. Do you perhaps have access to a Braisa regarding 2 days of Yontif in Chutz Laretz, as to whether the status of these 2 days is one continuous Kiddusha or Shtei Kiddushos? What's interesting here, by the way, on the side, is that Rav Sheshes was known as the absolute Baki in Mishnayos and Braisos. But maybe the reason he became that Baki is because he researched it, and he encountered one of the Gdolim of his generation, he would ask them, maybe you have a Braisa that I don't know about. And the Braisas were omitted from the Mishnayos, so they didn't have easy access to the Braisas. So that's what Rav Sheshes asks Rabba Bar Shmuel. Omar Le, so Rabba tells him, Tanina. In fact, I do have a Braisa, Mode Rabbi Yossi, B'shnei Yomim Tovim Shel Golios, meaning Rabbi Yossi concedes to the position of the Chachamim. The Chachamim, in the case of Rosh Hashanah, had Shtei Kiddushos, and Rabbi Yossi said, no, Rosh Hashanah is Kiddusha Achas, but when it came to Yom Tiv Sheni Shel Golios, Rabbi Yossi agreed to the position of the Chachamim that it's Shtei Kedushas. Now, before we analyze Rav Sheshes' response to the statement of Rabbah, let's just think conceptually what's going on over here. Rabbi Yossi, in the case of Rosh Hashanah, had the principle called Niskalkalu Halaviyah Bashir, which means that the witnesses to testify about the new moon came very late in the day, and the Rabbanim decided, because of the retroactive kilkul, it's going to mess up the Levim from the Tamid Shel Shachar, Tamid Shel Ben Arbayim, they sang the wrong song, blah, blah, blah. We don't have to go over that today. Therefore, they made a takana that we're going to observe the first day and we're going to reject these Eidim, so to speak. We're going to tell them, put them into, lock them up with lock and key, and then come back tomorrow. So we'll establish tomorrow as Rosh Hashanah. Now, since the Rabbanan insisted that the first day of Rosh Hashanah be observed, until the end of the day, even though, no question about it, we know that that's not going to be sanctified as Rosh Hashanah because Beis Din is rejecting these Eidim. It means, says Rabbi Yossi, that the status of the first day of Rosh Hashanah is Vadai. We definitely, through the method of Takanas Chachamim, the Rabbanan have endowed Kedusha B'toras Vadai in the first day. You can no longer call it Safek, because on the contrary, if you're going to go with Safek, then for sure the first day is not sanctified, because Beis Din has already made a decision. They're not sanctifying the first day. They're rejecting these Eidim. But in the case of Yontif Sheni Shel Golios, we don't have this business about Niskalkalu Alevim Bashir. We never found that the Rabbanan made a takana that the first day of Sukkot and the second day of Sukkot are both equal, one continuous long Kedusha. On the contrary, the whole institution of Yontif Sheni Shel Golios is based on Safek. Meaning that we're out there in the Gola, in the far away from Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim. We don't know which of the 2 days is the real day of Sukkot. So we're going to observe 2 days mitzvah Safek, and that's called Shtei Kedushas. Now, in fact, Rabosai, just to support this position, we could quote a whole bunch of halachas where we find that there are leniencies in Yontif Sheni that don't apply to Yontif Rishon. So, for example, we don't bury the dead, even through Goyim, hire non-Jewish grave diggers on the first day of Yontif. But we will do it on the second day of Yontif. Now, don't ask me, I never saw it. That's a good question. It's one of those halachas that are purely theoretical. But never here, it happened once in our neighborhood. Somebody, young fellow, was killed in a car accident, and they actually buried him on the second day. But okay, I don't want to get into that, right? But in the books, in theory, in Shulchan Aruch, you'll find that on Yontif Sheni, is asking bo amomen. Amomen means the nations of the world. Another nafkamina might be in terms of what's called Maisa Shabbos, or Maisa Yontif in this case, meaning if a guy did a malacha on behalf of a Jew, even though the Jew did not explicitly mandate him, the Jew is not allowed to benefit from that malacha. And here also, there might be a difference between Yontif Rishon and Yontif Sheni in Chutz Laretz. Now, many poskim are going to say that if the guy did malacha for you, again, unbeknown to you, but he did a malacha for you on Yontif Sheni, just like Yontif Rishon, you're not allowed to benefit from it. Because they were very sensitive to zilzul be Yontif Sheni. They went overboard sometimes to be machmir, that even where suffering to Rabbanan should have been lakula, and in this case of being nene from Melechus Akum, when the Akum did it on his own initiative, we might be mekil in a case of suffering. But nevertheless, we're going to be machmir in Yontif Sheni, the dafka, because people might get the wrong impression about Yontif Sheni. Because the Gemara tells us in Masechta Beitza at the beginning on Daf Daled that even though originally we had a suffering, because they were Kadesh the Chodesh al Pi Re'iyah, when they needed Eidim to testify about the new moon, and there was no Kiddush HaChodesh without Edim, and in such a case, we have a real bona fide suffix. When did the Edim come? When were they accepted? When was Beis HaMikdash HaChodesh? But came along Hillel HaZaken, and he was misaken the what's called Kiddush Al Pi Cheshbon, because the Beis Din HaGadol was batel already. They went into Golus, and after many generations, they did not have access to being Mekadesh LeChodesh through Edim, and Hillel established his calendar. I don't remember. I always get confused. My history is very weak. Maybe, Sammy, you could help me over here. Which Hillel was it, right? The two Hillels. I think we're talking about Hillel HaShemi, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, that's like 100 years later. But check me out. If I don't review these things, I forget them. But anyway, Hillel established the famous calendar. And we have a calendar, which is an amazing achievement. I mean, even the Goyim today, I mean, those who know about it, are amazed how Hillel was able to accomplish this. But he set up a calendar for all generations to come, until the end of time, in which we know exactly which day is Yontif. And Yontif Sheni, now, the Gemara says, is Minig Avoseinu B'Yodeinu. But be that as it may, we're not ready for that now. At this point in the sugya, the Gemara thinks that it makes absolute sense that Rav Yossi would concede to the Rabbanon that Yontif Sheni and the whole institution of Yontif Sheni is Mishum Safek. We just simply don't know which day is Yontif. And therefore we're going to apply the principle of Shtei Kiddushos and all the coolness of Rav Yehuda that we mentioned yesterday. And I reviewed it a little bit today in touching that you could have two Eruvs and you could have a Tanai and so forth and so on. Amale, so Rav Sheshes responds to Rabba, and he says the following: Imish kachaslu lo tema lehu velo midi. Okay, so let's just review what we're talking about. Yesterday, we discussed a deer that was shechted on Yontif, and the deer was trapped on the first day of Yontif and shechted on the second day of Yontif. And Rav Nachman and Rav Chisda sat down, with fork and knife, and they ate the deer. And Rav Sheshes refused to eat the deer. And Rav Nachman and Rav Chisda said to Rav Sheshes, "Why are you hesitating to eat the deer?" And the answer is, because it was trapped on the first day of Yontif, and therefore, it's a malacha that was done on Yontif, on the first day, and I can't benefit from it on the second day. Meaning, you, Rav Nachman, Rav Chisda, were able to, you allowed yourself to eat this meat, because you held Shtei Kiddushos. And if you hold Shtei Kiddushos, then Mimonavshach, you could eat the meat. If it was trapped yesterday, and yesterday was Chol, so there was no violation of any Malacha, and I can eat it today on the second day of Yontif, which is the real day of Yontif. And if on the other hand, yesterday was Yontif, so today is Chol. And if today is Chol, then any Malacha that was done on Yontif, I'm allowed to benefit from on Chol. Again, I might have to wait what's called Bichdei Sheyasa, if you know what I'm talking about. But that, again, I don't want to, we don't have to get off on a tangent we'll come back to that concept, but not now. So, it's very interesting. You remember that phrase, classified information? So Rav Sheshes says to Rava, this Braisa is classified information. The Braisa says that Rav Yossi agrees in the case of Yontif Sheni Shel Golios that we apply the principle of Shtei Kiddushos. But Rav Sheshes had refused to eat from the deer. And if you'll publicize this Braisa and it becomes known to Rav Nachman and Rav Chisda, I'm going to be booshed out. Because it's very embarrassing that I refused to eat from the meat based on the Svar of Rav Yossi of Kiddusha Achas, but we only heard of Rav Yossi's Kiddusha Achas with regard to Rosh Hashanah. And now, Rav Nachman and Rav Chisda are going to say to Rav Sheshes, I told you so. You should have known. about this braisa. And you're Rav Sheshes, the great Baki, who knows all the braisas and all the Mishnayas, and you didn't know this braisa that says that even Rav Yossi agrees in Yontif Shein Shel Golios that it's Shtei Kiddushos. So why did you refuse to eat from the deer? Apparently you were unaware of this braisa. Ah, now we have a braisa. Now, again, exactly how this works in terms of what's accepted in the world of Torah, you know, what information you're allowed to keep secret for in order not to embarrass somebody, that's an issue here, which is going to have to be addressed. But I want to just give you a short synopsis that he offers here in the Masifta. He says, Ha'ole mitochas sugya. The bottom line of this sugya is that Shnei Yomim Tov Shel Golias Hein Shtei Kiddushos V'kach Sovru Rav Nachman V'Rav Chizda V'Rav Rabba Bar Shmuel Hochiach Kein Mi'abraisa V'gam Rav Sheshes Chazar Bo. In other words, the fact that Rav Sheshes tells Rabba, don't publicize, don't let Rav Nachman Rav Chizda find out about the braisa, means that he conceded that the braisa was a reliable source that would prove that even Rav Yossi holds that in the case of Golios, it's Shtei Kiddushos. V'chein muchach gam imasha omar Rav bebeitza daf yud zayin. Wow. Now we have a statement of Rav. Now keep in mind, Rav is already the first generation. I mean, Rav might even be a Tana. But anyway, the Amoraim, they came later, like Rav Chizda and Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes, they all saw that, and Rabba, they all saw themselves as Talmidim of Rav. I mean, that's how great Rav was. And Rav himself goes on record in the Gemara Beitza Yud Zayin, that in the case of Shnei Yomim Tovim, he could be niach es eruvo, and he could be me'arev, an erev tchumin of shnei yomim tovim. Okay, it's a complicated sugya. And then there's the sugya of Rav in Beitza Daf Dalid, that Beitza shenolda biyontif rishon muteris biyontif sheni. Okay, that's a little bit simpler. So I'm going to leave out the sugya in Beitza Yud Zayin for the time being. Maybe we'll come back to that. But as far as the sugya in Beitza Daf Dalid, Rav says that Beitza Shenolda Biyontif Rishon Muteris Biyontif Sheni. Clearly, accepting the rule of Shtei Kiddushos. And now we have Rav to rely on, that in Yontif Sheni Shel Golias is Shtei Kiddushos. And the Gemara in Beitza Daf Heyom in Beis Paskins, like Rav, that Beitza Shenolda Bezeh Muteris Bezeh, is Muchach Mikol Zeh Shemitzad Hadin Echad miyomim, one of these 2 days of Yontif Sheni, of Yontif in Chutzlaitz, is Chol. Umashe noagim b'shnei yomim tovim b'kedusha achas. I'm sorry, b'kedusha. In Chutzlaitz, umashmas sofek. And therefore, there are two kedushos, as we always said, that if you have a sofek, there are two kedushos. V'yim hoya kedusha achas lo hoya rav mati lo niach eruv b'shnei yomim. So we have a great deal of halachic, very strong, reliable source material to come to the conclusion that la locha, despite the fact that Rav Sheshes had doubts about it originally, but he himself changed his mind, that Yontif Sheni Shel Golias is Shtei Kiddushos. Okay. Now he writes the following. Again, he has a long discussion about Yontif Sheni Shel Rosh Hashanah. How do we paskin in that case? And he says the following. Umikach ole la locha shenochri Sha'asa melacha avur Yisrael b'yantif rishon. This was the case that I mentioned earlier. Can I benefit on Yontif Sheni from a melacha that was done on behalf of a Yisrael on Yontif Rishon? And the answer is Pashut, yes, I'm allowed to benefit from it. Why? Because we're holding now Shtei Kiddushas. And then we apply the Mimanavshach. Either the melacha was not done at all because there was no Kiddusha to Yontif Rishon, it was not Yontif. Or even if in the worst case scenario, I assume that the first day was Yontif, and therefore on the first day we would not be allowed to benefit from Malach that was done by a Goy on behalf of a Jew, but the second day is Chol. Is Mutal Lehenos Vimenav Yontif Sheni. However, he says, Olav Lahamtin B'motze Yontif Rishon B'chtei She'yase. So there's Let me call it a half hour. I'm just making that up. Let's say it would take a half hour to implement that very melacha that the guy did on behalf of the Jew. Let's say he heated up water on behalf of the Jew. Well, again, that's not a good example because we're talking about Yontif. Well, let's say he would build him a small utensil. So he had to chop down the wood, and he had to get nail in the different pieces. It takes him a half hour. It takes him an hour. So that we have a din that applies even to Chol. Like, let's say, for example, if a guy did a malacha for me on Shabbos, on Motzi Shabbos, after Avdolah, let's say he heated up water for me on Shabbos, I would not be allowed to jump into that bath, that hot bath, until an hour would pass by in which I would have enough time to burn the fuel and heat up the water. That's on Chol. So therefore, if we apply Shtei Kiddushos to Yontif Sheni Shel Golios, that first half hour after nightfall of the first day would be Asur Midin Bichdei Shiyasa. Why? Because we have to consider the possibility that the first day of Yontif was really the holy day of Yontif. The guy did malacha, which would take a half hour to do, on Yontif, on behalf of the Jew. We have to wait Kedei Shiyasa. And even if you'll tell me that Yontif Sheni is not Yontif, it wouldn't make any difference at all, because the din of Bichdei Shiyasa applies, as we said, on Motzi Shabbos, Motzi Yontif. Klomar, and what is Kedei Shiyasa? Kishira Nidrosh Lasiyas HaMalach. Whatever, again, it would shift from one malacha to the other, but we're going to make an evaluation, how long would it take to do the malach? Basically, the concept of Bechdei Shiyasa means you should not be benefiting from a Malecha Shabbos that was done on your behalf. And what benefit would I get? I would save myself the time from Havdalah until I would be able to heat up the water, let's say. So that period of time I'm saving if I would jump right into the hot bath immediately after Havdalah. Now, let's say the guy, just trying to think what the case is, just 1 second. So the guy did a malach on behalf of the Jew on Yontif Rishon. So he says, second, the ein tzorich lahamtin ad kidei shiyasu b'motzoi Yontif Sheni. I don't get it. What was he talking about here? On Yontif Sheni. I got it. Yontif Sheni is a suffix, right? We don't know which day was Yontif. So that... just 1 second. No, I don't have. Shereish kedusha shnei yomu rak machmas asof imanefshach yontu sheni mutar sheim lefia emes hayom hasheni hu hakadosh biyom arishon chol is arei lo nasa malachu biyont. Fine, that I understand. V'im hayom arishon hu kadosh harei him to memotzi yontu frishon kidei sheyase. Umasha Omar Rapapa Bebetzach of Talid, Shenochri Shehevi Doron Li Israel. Yitzarch Lahamtin La Erev Bechdesha Yasu, Kamenosali Erev, Shomatsiyotif Rishon. Umucha came, Igmar Lalon, Shesovra Vinishotif Sheni, Lois Kiku Lahamtin, Bechdesha Yasa. Af b'malocha shenasu b'oso hayom. And I'm missing something, Rabosa. Let me go over the mathematics and please correct me, because I'm not sure where the flaw in my thinking is. If the guy did the malocha on behalf of the Jew on Yontif Rishon, why can't he benefit from that malocha on Yontif Sheni? Again, you have to wait Kadesh Yasa on Motzi Yontif Rishon, but what would be the svara to say that he can't benefit from this malach on Yontif Sheni? If yesterday was Yontif, so he already waited Kadesh Yasa. And if today is Yontif, the malach was done on Chol. I don't know, I'm missing a piece of the puzzle here. No, because he makes a big deal that on Motzi Yontif Rishon, on Motzi Yontif Sheni, you don't have to wait Kadesh Yasa. I don't know why you can't enjoy the benefit of this malach on Yontif Sheni itself. Ah, maybe. Oh, I see. Oh, I see. He's talking about Mukta, maybe. That since, one second, the malach was done on Yontif Rishon. Ah, yeah. So remember we discussed this about Bein HaShmoshos. So Bein HaShmoshos of Yontif Sheni, we have a Mukta issue, right? Because Bein HaShmoshos is Sofek Yom, Sofek Laila. So on the side that Bein HaShmoshos is Yom, then it still belongs to the first day. And then it's Muksa. Why? Because the guy created something that didn't exist. And he did so on Yontif. So for sure it was Muksa. And that Muksa will extend into Bein HaShmoshos because of the Safek Yom. So therefore on Yontif Sheni, which we don't know if it's Yontif or not, on the side that it's Yontif, we had something that was prohibited during the Bein HaShmoshos going into Yontif Sheni. But again, this has to be taken under advisement under the laws of Mukta, because this is called, are you familiar with the phrase Mukta Machmas Yom Sha'avar? But I'm pretty sure that in Poskim, I think they say that Mukta Machmas Yom Sha'avar is Mukta. So that's why this malach that was done by a guy on Yontif Rishon becomes Mukta on Yontif Sheni. As far as being Nene from Aleches Akum, there I would say Mimanafshach, he's okay, because we're holding Shtei Kedushos, and it's a Sofek. So either the guy was doing a Malach on a Yom Chol, if yesterday was Chol, or even if he was doing a Malach on Yontif, so you have to wait till Kadesh Yasa, going into Yontif Sheni, he's already waited Kadesh Yasa. So that would not be an Isa. But I think what he has in mind is Mukt. I don't know. I'm just throwing out an idea. Okay. Now we're going to talk about chutz l'tchum. What happens when a guy brings something for a Jew, let's say he brings him food, and he brings it from chutz l'tchum. Now, Omar of Ashi, l'didi Omar li'amemar, hahu bar tavya, Lav, it's tuduye, it's tudit. In other words, we had assumed until now, according to the text that we had, that this deer was trapped on Yontif. Says Rav Ashi, I have a different Misora, I have a different tradition in the name of Amemar, and it was not trapped on Yontif, meaning on the first day of Yontif, but rather the machlokas between the various chachamim about whether you're allowed to eat this deer on the second day of Yontif, he says that according to all opinions, if it wasn't trapped on the first day of Yontif, Ahuvar Tavya Lav Itzduye Itztid, it was not trapped on the first day of Yontif. And if that be the case, then what should be the problem in shechting it on the second day of Yontif? So it would have to be mutter. Okay, so we stopped in the middle of the sentence. He confused me here because he has an empty space here. There should be no empty space here. Anyway, well, what happened over here? Ella, we're on Daf Mem and Aleph now. Michutz l'tchum asa. It wasn't that it was trapped on the first day of Yontif, but rather it was brought from chutz l'tchum on Yontif, on the first day of Yontif. And now we have machlokes, whether you're allowed to eat it on that very day that it was brought chutz l'tchum. So everybody would agree, there was never an issue, Rav Sheshes was not inhibited about this, that you can certainly eat from this meat on the second day of Yontif. Why? Because shtei kedusha same. That was never an issue, according to the tradition that I received from a meimar. However, the issue was about eating it on the first day of Yontif, because the deer was brought from chutz l'tchum. Mandi ochal, according to Rav Nachman and Rav Chizda, they have no hesitation eating from this tzvi on the first day of Yontif, because haba b'shvil Yisrael zeh mutu l'Yisrael acher. The guy, when he brought this deer chutz l'tchum, he did not bring it for Rav Chizda and Rav Nachman, he brought it for another Jew who was the host. And Rav Nachman and Rav Chizda were the guests. And even though, normally, the halacha of Maisa Akum, when a guy does malacha for a Jew, it's irrelevant for which Jew he had in mind. Even if he had in mind Reuven, Shimon is enjoined, he's not allowed to enjoy the benefit of that food or that malacha. But with regard to Chutz L'Tchum, here's where the law changes. And that's called Haba b'shvil Yisrael zeh mutal Yisrael acher. And we're going to have to try to figure out why, in the case of Tchum, we can differentiate according to Rav Ashi between one Yisrael and another Yisrael. So if the guy had in mind Reuven, Reuven's not allowed to enjoy the benefit of this food that was brought chutz l'tchum. But Shimon is allowed to benefit. Umandalo Achal, and Rav Sheshes, who refused to eat from the meat, Savar, he held, Kol di asi lebei resh galusa adaite de kula rabbanan ase. That although it's true that if you have a host and the guy brought the food for the host, chutz l'tchum, that doesn't impose any isur on the other guests, but the case of resh galusa is different. They were guests at the home of the Reish Galusa, and the Reish Galusa had a minog that he would invite all the chachamim to his table, and that's where they discussed different halachic issues that came up in Jewish life. And therefore, when the guy brings this food for the Reish Galusa, he specifically has in mind that he's feeding the entire group. So it's like the Reish Galusa is the Achnosis Archim place, where there were always guests at his table, and anyone who brought any food, you imagine Imagine if you're running a yeshiva and you hire, you know, a company to bring food for the yeshiva. Obviously, that company realizes they're bringing food for all the members of the yeshiva. Or if you have an office and you have many workers in the office. So the house of the Reish Galusa is not a place like a normal house that if I bring food, I'm bringing it for the host. It's a communal kind of institution where everybody's eating together. And therefore, Rav Sheshet is held that he cannot benefit from this food, this deer that was brought chutz l'tchum by the guy, because the guy, so to speak, had him in mind. He was bringing it for Rav Sheshet. Again, did the guy know Rav Sheshet? He didn't know Rav Sheshet from a hole in the wall. But he was bringing it for the Reish Galusa, and that means he had das in mind for each one of the people who would be eating at the house, at the table, partaking of the table of the Reish Galusa. They called the Asi Lebeshka Reish Galusa, anything that's delivered to the house of the Reish Galusa, is Adaiti the Kula Rabbanan Asi. You bring it for all the Chachamim that customarily will gravitate towards the table of the Reish Galusa, and that's where they had these great banquets, and that's where they discussed the issues that were relevant to the Jewish community of the issues of the day. So the guy is bringing food to the Reish Galusa, al das, that he is bringing his das for bringing the food is to deliver it and supply it for all the chachamim that sit at that table. So if you take a look at Tosus, Divya Maskel Adaite, he points out that we should derive from this that something that's brought for a balabayas, if he has many members of his household, let's say he has his wife and his daughters and his sons, then they are all enjoined from benefiting from that which is brought by the guy chutz l'tchum on Shabbos or Yontif on behalf of the balabayas. They're considered b'nei beiso. If they're guests, then lucky, the guests are lucky they can eat from this food that was brought by a guy chutz l'tchum. Alright. Now, Rav Nachman and Rav Chisda had no inhibitions about eating from this food because according to Rashbi, he says, Savru she'ein daitom shalamivim avura chachom. Again, I don't know, it sounds like a strange kind of machlokas, but at least the Rashba is saying that, you know, the guy he's hired by the Reish Galusa, he's a delivery man. He shouldn't have delivered on that day, it was Yontif, but he delivered it, and he has in mind the Reish Galusa. Reish Galusa signed on the, you know, on the invoice, you know what I mean? He doesn't know that they're chachamim, and they're eating, and they're sharing, and it's a big banquet. And therefore, it's Haba b'shvil Yisrael zeh mutal Yisrael ach. Rav Sheshet also agrees fundamentally that Haba b'shvil Yisrael zeh mutal Yisrael acher, but the exception is the case of Reish Galusa. The language of the Gemara is a little bit strange, because take a look at the Gemara. The Gemara says, Mandi Ochal, which is a reference to Rav Nachman Rav Chisda, Savar Haba B'Shvil Yisrael Zem Mutal Yisrael Acher. What do you mean, Mandi Ochal? Kuli Amalo Pligi, even Rav Sheshet, who refused to eat, he also agrees that Haba Yisrael Mutal Yisrael Acher. So the language of the Gemara is a bit strange. Okay. Now, what I had in mind was to bring the Shulchan Aruch with the Mishnah Brura here, but lo estai in milsa, so maybe I'll do that tomorrow, b'lineder, because there's some interesting insights in the Mishnah Brura about this halacha of something that came chutz l'tchum. Apparently, back in the day, this was quite common, that Goyim would deliver food for the Jews even on Shabbos and Yontif, and very often, again, we don't know if the guy brought it chutz l'tchum or not. I mean, that's going to be a whole sugya unto itself. Under what circumstances do we assume he came chutz l'tchum? Maybe he was within the tchum. Because even outside of the city, we have a leniency that allows you 2,000 am outside the city. So that even if the guy shows up from outside the city on Shabbos, who tells you that he was outside the purview of 2,000 amos, 2,000 plus amos? Maybe he was within the 2,000. Okay, so that's an issue that deals with Safek Chutz L'Tchum. Now the Gemara asks Akash on a Meimar, the way he transmitted the whole story. For Ashkechei Rav Sheshes L'Rabba Bar Shmuel, the Omar Le, we just finished saying that after the whole story in which Rav Sheshes refused to eat together with Rav Nachman and Rav Chizda from the deer meat, he met Rabba. He asked him, if you have a brisa about Yontif Sheni Shel Golios, that would indicate whether the Kedusha Achas or Shtei Kedushos. And then he even told Rabba that he should keep it classified. Now, according to Meimar, the Maisa was that they shechted the tzvi on that very day of Yontif, which is perfectly okay. It's just that the tzvi came from chutz l'tchum. It was brought by a guy from outside the tchum. So why is Rav Sheshes, in the aftermath of this story about the tzvi, asking Rabba if he has a brisa about kedusha achas or shtei kedushos? It was all on the first day of Yontif, and the question is, can you shecht and eat this tzvi when it was brought to you on that first day of Yontif from chutz l'tchum? That's not relevant to kedusha achas or shtei kedushos. Now, if you would have asked him, what's the status on the second day of Yontif, and can we set up some sort of mimonef shelf based on shtei kedushos, nicha. But that wasn't the story according to Meimar. According to Meimar, the story was chutz l'tchum. So what is he gaining by asking Rabba, do you have a brisa of kedusha achas or shtei kedushos? So the Gemara says that according to Meimar, lo hayu dvar me'ola. That whole story that was related that, you know, Rav Sheshes met Rabba and he asked him if you have a brisa of kedusha achas or shtei kedushos. Never happened. Lo hayu v'lo nivra. Okay. Now we're really getting into the nitty gritty about food that was brought chutz l'tchum on Shabbos or Yontif by a guy. Gemara tells the following story. Ahu lifta, which I used to call it a turnip, but I think now they have a slightly different translation. Anyway, it's some sort of a vegetable. The osi l'machoza, and it was brought into a city called Machoza on Yontif by a guy. Nafak Rava Chazia Dechemisha. Rava saw that this turnip was kamush. Kamush means it was disintegrating over a period of time. It was getting spoiled. And Shara Rava Lemizman Mine. Rava permitted buying this lefes. I don't think he paid for it on Yontif, but he ate it on Yontif. Amar, and he made a declaration, why was I matir eating this lefes, which was brought by a guy on behalf of the Jew? Now, keep in mind, the guy is a vegetable seller, a vendor, right? He makes his profit by selling vegetables. He doesn't have anyone in mind, so he comes from chutz l'tchum. He's going to sell his vegetables in the public market. But, you know, whether Reuven is going to buy his vegetables or Shimon or Levi, he has no clue. Now, it sounds like Rava would have normally prohibited eating this lefes on Yontif. It's just that he had a scientific proof that this lefes was brought even before Yontif. It was an alto lefes. It wasn't a fresh lefes. If it was fresh, then we have to assume the guy brought it chutz l'tchum on Yontif. But Rava said, if you look at this lefes, you'll see that it's not a recently plucked lefes. And that's called Vade Me Esmo Necro. Now, if it wasn't Kmisha, then apparently Rava would have prohibited it. So the Gemara asks the following. My Amrit, what was Rav afraid of? Mi chutz l'tchum asya, that the guy who's the vendor who's selling vegetables, he brought it fi chutz l'tchum on yontif. And Chachamim say that anything that's brought chutz l'tchum on yontif is asur. Why should that apply in this case? After all, haba b'shvil Yisrael zeh, Mutul Yisrael Acher? In other words, the only one who's prohibited from enjoying that which came chutz l'tchum by a guy on Yom Tov is the person for whom the guy brought this chutz l'tchum. But he didn't bring it for Rava. He brought it to sell it in the marketplace. Now, Rava happened to be the lucky buyer. Again, we'll see how he paid for it. But anyway, he was the lucky buyer. But it's haba michutz l'tchum b'shvil Yisrael zeh, and everybody agrees mutul Yisrael acher. You remember that even Rav Sheshes, who was inhibited about eating the meat, that was because he was at the Reish Galusa's house, and that was a very unusual circumstance where we say it was aldas all the chachamim according to Rav Sheshes, right? What was the language called? The osi beis rishon adaita the kula rabbanan osi. But here that a guy is selling vegetables in the marketplace, he doesn't have in mind any specific Jew. So now we have Mutal Lechol L'Yisrael Acher. The Kolshken Haita Daiti D'Nochrimos. Not only that, the guy who's selling the Lefes in public, he's not selling it for Jews. He's selling it for non-Jews. I mean, if Jews show up and buy it, that's fine. But he didn't have in mind, you know, the Jewish population. He had in mind Bishvil and Nachri. Huh. So the Gemara answers, Keva de Chaza de Ka Mafshe Umaisi Lahu Asa Lahu. Okay, so let's first translate the Gemara, and then we'll see if we can figure out the logic of it. Kamafshei, mafish in Aramaic, again it has a totally different meaning in Arabic, but mafish in Aramaic means it's manifold, a large volume. In this case it means mafish umaisilahu. In other words, the goyim are bringing a lot of this lefes from chutz l'tchum. Now, if they would bring one bushel of lefes, then it's logical to assume that they have the goyim in mind. But if they're bringing bushels upon bushels upon bushels of lefes, it must be that they expect that they will have clients, they will have business from the Jewish population as well. So Rava figured out that when the goyim were bringing chutz l'tchum lefes, they were bringing it for the Jewish population. And therefore also lehu, because this is like a guy who brought chutz l'tchum for the Jew. I don't get it. What do you mean he brought it for chutz? Did he, the guy, know which Jew was going to buy it? We just finished saying that haba b'shvil Yisrael zeh, mutul Yisrael acher. Meaning that it's only mutter in the case where, I'm sorry, it's only usur in the case where the guy had in mind a specific Jew, we'll call him Reuven, and he brought it chutz l'tchum on behalf of Reuven. But if he didn't have in mind anyone, I mean, again, he obviously indicated that he hopes the Jewish population will participate in the purchase here, because he brought such a large volume, but he certainly didn't have in mind Ravo or Yankel or Beryl. So why isn't that a case of mutul Yisrael Acher? So I'm going to just tell you what I think the Gemara means. You can argue with me. You know, this is not, I don't have any rank here. But I would say that what the Gemara has in mind is like the case of the Reish Galusa. So that if I anticipate, I shouldn't say I, let's say John Paul Jones anticipates that Reuven is going to be the recipient of his Molacha, then Shimon is allowed to benefit from that. Again, I shouldn't say Molacha, I should say Chutz L'Tchum, because as I said before, when it comes to a real Molacha, it's also for all the Jewish people. But in Chutz L'Tchum, there was a Kula that's Mutu L'Yisrael Ach. But that's only because he had in mind one specific Jew. But if he had in mind a group of Jews, then every single one of that members of that group is considered Bishvilo. Right? It's called Abba Bishvil Yisrael Zeh. Even though it's a group, even though they're faceless, anonymous Jews. And I'll prove it to you from the case of Reish Galusa. Because Rav Sheshes has prohibited Reish Galusa because the guy had in mind a group. If he had in mind Reuven or Shimon or Levi, that's fine. Then Reuven, Shimon, Levi, it's Habab Yisrael, Yisrael, Zeh. And Yisachar and Zvulun are allowed to benefit from the Chutz L'Tchur. But in a case where the guy had in mind a group, then that's called Bishvil Yisrael Zeh. So we don't need Zeh in a sense of identifying, you know, I have his ID number, I have his picture on it, you know, he showed me his driver's license, I took a photo. That kind of Zeh I don't need. And if he has in mind a group, and any member of the Jewish community that belongs to that group, we don't know up front who it's going to be, that's called Bishvil Yisrael Zeh. The only exception to that rule is going to be a case where the guy had in mind a specific Jew. So all this comes down, again, I want to see this in the Mishnah Berurah, to the issue of buying merchandise, food, from a guy that was brought Chutz L'Tchum on Shabbos and Yontif. And the Maskana of the Gemara in Rava seems to be, unless you can absolutely convince yourself that this food was brought way before Shabbos, way before Yontif, but if the fruit or the grains or whatever he brings us very fresh, and we have reason to believe it was just plucked and brought today on Shabbos and Yontif, then don't tell me, well, the guy didn't have me in mind. As long as we know that the guy has in mind the entire group, the entire population, and Rava did research to figure that out, and amongst the population were Jews, we would not be allowed to benefit on Shabbos or Yom Tov from that was brought Chutz L'Tchum. And again, it doesn't sound like something very relevant to us, but back in the day, that's why the Mishnah Berurah spends so much time on this, with all the details and the different poskim, because it was very relevant back at the time. Okay. Now we're going to talk about a different kind of a case, where the guy actually did a malacha on Yontif on behalf of the Jew, and that's called Gidule Karka Shenitlishu B'Yontif. And therefore, you're not allowed to benefit from them on Yontif. We just wait what's called Bechdei Sheyase on Motzei Yontif. So what tells the following story. Hanu B'nei Ginona. Okay, there's a what's called Chupas Chasanim. And what back in the day, I think we discussed this in Masechta Shabbos, they used to adorn the chuppah with hadassim. How do you say hadassim in English? Myrtles? If I got that right? I don't know. Anyway. And the ganule asa b'yontif sheni. So the goyim cut down these hadassim, and they brought it to the Jews on Yontif Sheni. Now, apparently the Goyim knew that these B'nai Ginnona were in need of Hadassim, because these were the Jews that were in charge of setting up the Chuppah. That was their Parnassa. You know, today we have party planners, and we have, the band, and all sorts of that. In Corona, you have so many issues about, canceled You know, when you pay for that, you don't pay for it. Anyway, so back in the day, they had these Bnei Gnana, and the Goyim wanted to make a profit. They knew that Bnei Gnana were primary, you know, clients to buy the Hadassim, so they would cut down Hadassim. And in this case, they did it on Yontif Sheni. Li Urta, on Motzei Yontif Sheni, Sharol Lervino Laruchi Belialte. Right? What do we do with Hadassim? We smell them. And in smelling them, we are benefiting from the Hadassim. Well, we're benefiting from the Hadassim, which we have access to because of a malacha that was done by a guy on behalf of a Jew. And it says Lialta, meaning that Ravina did not wait b'chdei shiyase. Let's say it takes X amount of time to cut down the Hadassim, which is a malacha of Ktsira, which is not permitted on Yontif. And why didn't he tell them that you shouldn't be smelling these Hadassim on Motzei Yontif until after Kadesh Yasa, until a half hour passes, the amount of time it would take him to cut down the Hadassim? Amalei. So when the Psak, the Kula of Ravina made the round, so Rava got up and he said to Ravina, Rava to Ravina, Lesa lumam if neisha eno b'nei Torah. In other words, Rava said to Ravina, you know what? Technically, al pidin, you are right. We don't have to be machmir with kedesha yaseh on motzi yontif sheni. That far we don't have to go. The whole institution of Kedei Sheyas as a requirement is because we're afraid that you'll benefit from a malach of a guy even on Shabbos and Yontif itself. So we have to penalize you and say, wait, Kedei Sheyas, don't benefit from what he did for you as a malach on Shabbos. But in the case of Yontif Sheni, you're right. That far we don't have to go. To say that Motzi Yontif Sheni, you have to wait to smell the Hadassim because you're benefiting from a lach that was done by a guy, that's already stretching it too far. But, says Rava, there's another element in the equation. And that is, Chachamim have to be very careful about their rulings in a makom, in a place which is made up of ignorant Jews, of people who are not B'nai Torah. In front of the Chachamim, you could say your whole, you know, logical, conceptual analysis of Halacha, this is Yontif Sheni, it doesn't have the same status as Yontif Rishon, and the whole institution of waiting Kedei Shiyas is a requirement because of a Knas, we don't want you to benefit from a Halacha that's done on behalf of the Jew, and that's all fine and dandy. But when you're paskening to people who are Einam B'nai Torah, you're playing with fire. Why? Because they don't understand all these distinctions. They're going to think that Yontif Sheni is not the same as Yontif Rishon, and they're going to come to be Mezalzel in Yontif Sheni. And again, I don't want to mention any deviant movements in Judaism today, but you know, you all know what I have in mind. And when it was the Reform, I didn't, you know, it didn't bother me. It didn't bother anybody because with Reform, you're lucky if they're in favor of marrying from, you know, marrying from someone who's of the faith. You know, they're going so far as encouraging mixed marriages today. That's how far to the left they've gone. But there's another movement in the middle there, which I was hoping wouldn't be Mezalzel and Yontif Sheni, but in some cases they basically did away with Yontif Sheni Shogolis. So we see that if you don't have B'nai Torah, you got to be very careful about being Mekel and Yontif Sheni. So I told you that we could bury the dead on Yontif Sheni. Even that is almost a non, it's always just a theoretical halacha. But to allow them to benefit from Leches Akum immediately after Motzi Yontif Sheni, which you told them on Yontif Rishon, if they brought the Hadassim, you were going to have to wait, you know, till B'chdei Shiyase. Now you're telling Yotif Sheni you don't have to wait B'chdei Shiyase. You're already giving them, that's exactly what they want to hear. that there's a distinction in halach between yotiv rishon and yotiv sheni. Is that you shouldn't do. That's going to already lead to zils. So I know we finished that time allotment, but I'll just read, if you can stay another minute, I'll just read another two lines so we finish this section. Maskif le Rav Shmaya. Rav Shmaya has a kasha on the objection of Rava to the psak of Ravina. And he says the following. He says, Taima di ena b'nei Torah, ha b'nei Torah shari. What are you telling me, Rava, that you accept the basic logical structure, conceptual structure, that we could be mekel on Motzei Yontif Sheni Shel Golias, and we wouldn't require Kadesh Yaseh? You're only worried because these are lav b'nei Torah, but if they would have been b'nei Torah, then you would allow to smell these hadasim that were brought and they were plucked on Yontif Sheni by a guy. On Motzei Yontif, you'd allow it. Even for B'nai Torah, when the Chachamim required that we wait a period of time with Dei Shiasa after Yontif, that halacha, that requirement should apply even on Yontif Sheni. Azlu Shaile L'Rava, Amar Lehu B'inon B'chdei Shiyas. So the two Ravas over here, we shouldn't confuse them. The first Rava was Rava Bar Tachlifa. And he felt that to impose this knas and this chumra b'kdesh yaseh on Yontif Sheni, so that a motzi Yontif Sheni we're not allowed to benefit by smelling the adasim, that far Yontif Sheni doesn't go. However, Rava himself, when he was asked this question, because Rav Shmaya was very uncomfortable about the kula of Yontif Sheni, which again, for B'nai Torah, apparently Rav Bar Tachlifa would have accepted that. That Rava requires the same weight of B'chdei Shiyas on Yontif Sheni Shel Golios, even for B'nai Torah, as he would for Yontif Rishon. And basically, Rava and Rav Shmaya together agree that Yontif Sheni has the same status as Yontif Rishon. The Nafkamina is Bechdei Shiyas. So B'li Neder tomorrow, we'll try to add the poskim into the equation if we can. And that's where we'll... let me just read this footnote on Ravina. He says, Ravina Sovar, Shekevan Shebizmanenu Bikim Onu Bikvias Hachadoshim Shehiel Pi Cheshbin is Viadua Bechola Gola Vieno Tluya Bikidish Beria Salavona Ain Onu Misupokim Asinis Kadish Hachodosh Ain Lino Yontif Sheni Elmishuminaga Voseni Viadenu Kefisha Mavur Bebesa Daftalin Veslocheni Kilu Biyontif Sheni She'ein tzorch lahamtin b'motze yontif sheni b'chdei shiyas. That's the summary of Rashi. And that's l'shitoso, sh'maisa zeho y'b'yontif sheni. The Rashi and the Ritva hold, based on their girsa, that we're talking about yontif rishon, and the reasoning for Ravina is that the hadas was not cut off for the sake of reach, but rather to build this chuppah, and therefore they didn't have to wait b'chdei shiyase elik shebolish tamish b'tashmish shel itzorko niktas, that the whole requirement of k'dei shiyase means if you want to benefit from it in the way that it was cut off, meaning the harvesting was done for a certain purpose and you want to benefit from that purpose, but here the harvesting was done to build the chuppah. And the Ritva says that Efsha Shaldas Ravina lo is Kiku Chachomim Klal Lahamtin Bechdei Shiyasu Af B'Shabbos U'B'Yontif Rishon. Right, that in this situation they would not require Bechdei Shiyasu, even if it was a Shabbos, even if it was Yontif Rishon. And the reason for that is because they weren't benefiting it in the way that it was for the purpose for which the Malacha was done. Now Rashi in Beitza and Daf Chav Talin with Beis says that Yesh Lahamtin Rak Kishir Hazman Adorsh Lasiyas Hamolocha Asur B'Yontiv Shebekach Kvar Eino Nenem Imolechas Yontiv. So if he waits the amount of time it would take to do that Molocha Asur B'Yontiv, then he's not benefiting from the Molocha that was implemented on Yontiv. Ach Ein Tzorach Lahamtin Kishir HaLicha LeMokom Shebo Godol HaMolocha. You don't have to add the amount of time it takes to get to where you're going to cut off the hadasim and the transport back. However, lefia bahag hatam shitzorch lahamtin k'dei sheyasu shema yomar lenochri lasus molocha avura biyontif uledaito efshar. It's possible that yesh lahamtin k'dei shir halicha v'havo. That according to the Bahag, we would jack up the amount of time to wait Kiteshi Asa to include the Alicha Navo going and coming. Kiteshi Lo Yomar Lenochri La Sosa Vuras Amaloch Miyontiv, Viarviach, Shlo Yitzarch Lahamtiv Motzi Yontiv, Esman Alicha Vavo. He's going to save himself that Esman Alicha Vavo on Motzi Yontiv. So that's a possibility according to the Bahag. We're not 100% sure, but certainly it is a possibility. Okay, so this is where we're going to stop. We are more than halfway down on Mem Amud Aleph. We're up to the two dots of Rabbi Dosa Omer, which we'll pick up Mirtz Hashem tomorrow here on Daf Mem Amud Aleph.